With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to inthemoneystocks.com.
Welcome, and this is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is June 15th, 2020, and this is show number 55. And that's hard to believe, Nick, but we're at 55 already. It seems like we just started this thing yesterday, and, well, a lot going on in the market today, that's for sure.
Yeah, we do have a lot happening out here today. And again, we're seeing another dip. This time it's a little bit different. Normally we get a Monday rally. Today we're getting a Monday sell-off. So it's actually good to see. You know, this coming week or this coming Friday, I should say, we have options expiration. It's going to be a quadruple witching options X. That's where you have four different asset classes expiring, basically everything under the sun. So we'll see what this market gives us. It's a week of institutional game playing. It's a week where you're going to have a lot of rumors. You're going to get a lot of ridiculous upgrades and downgrades. Who knows what else they'll throw at us. Last Options X, we got the kitchen sink thrown at us as far as bad news goes with David Tepper and Stan Druckenmiller. And a whole bunch of others. So again, just stay neutral this week, stay nimble. Short term is best, and we'll see what we get by the end of the week. But right now, the market seems to be working off some of its excesses, and that's good to see.
And of course, the naysayers are all saying that this is the beginning of the pullback, and we're going to go back and test March lows, right?
Yeah, I don't see that happening, but that is what they are saying. You get a lot of people out there. Basically, the people that have missed this entire rally from March are the people saying it. So, I mean, they're hoping, I guess. But the reality of it is it's a trader's market. We're working off the excesses. I did a lot of work over the weekend. I'm preparing a little bit of a timing webinar from my membership. And as I was going over all the charts, I just don't see that to be the case right now.
All right. Well, hey, so far you've been right and they've been wrong. So I guess we're going to see what happens next. Gold and silver also pulling back.
Yeah, today we have a pretty good pullback in both the precious metals, gold and silver and gold miners. But that's welcome and that's expected. So, to be honest, we've been talking about that gold needs to come back in a little bit or go sideways. And it's really just continuing to do that base. Some days it's up, some days it's down. But when you look at it overall, the pattern is still very, very good and constructive for ultimately a lot more upside down the road. But in the near term, you know, it just needs to continue to make this consolidation.
Yeah. So do you think they'll knock it down like below 1700 gold and below $17 silver to kind of rattle the market?
I think that we could see 1650, 1660 in gold and on silver. When I've looked at the silver futures chart, I think we could get down to maybe 1575, 1550. That's definitely a big level, though.
Yeah, 1550.
Yeah. If you look at the silver chart, that's where we broke out. And markets are very, very often love to go back and retest their prior breakout levels. I call that the scene of the crime. It's a technique I developed many years ago, and I see it all the time. So I would love to see that happen for me because I'd be able to get in there a lot cheaper.
Yeah, then it would be a real buy, huh?
I think it would be a tremendous buying opportunity.
Uh-huh. So the scene of the crime, huh?
That's right.
Yeah. So any other sectors that we should be paying attention to?
Yeah, pay attention to all the sectors that are getting beat up right now. So, you know, if you look at all the strong sectors that we were pointing out for weeks and weeks, now they're down. So hotels have definitely caught my eye. I'm looking at some hotel stocks, all of them, in fact, Hilton, Marriott, Hyatt, Choice Hotels. They're all pulling back now. So these are all on my radar. Plus, you have some energy stocks that are pulling back, like BP. I got out of my BP call options over a week ago. Now that stock is pulled back in, but I'll be a buyer again because the overall pattern is still there. It's still strong. So there are definitely places of, you know, the entire market that has rallied and is pulling back now can be another buying opportunity going forward.
So the whole thing then, because we've seen so many sectors take off, so is tech going to lead it this time again, or will it rotate out?
Well, we don't know yet, but I have to say, I would like to see money come out of tech. It was starting to happen, but then you got that big, big surge in tech before the market put in this short-term top. So there's always a chance that that can happen again, but we definitely have seen some money come out of individual tech names, and that's good to see because it did go into other places. And if the market can broaden, meaning you have more spots that are going up besides just technology, then that's very, very positive for the overall markets. And don't forget that the Fed isn't going anywhere. They're not going to take away the liquidity punch bowl. So, you know, people have to keep that in the back of their minds as well.
Right. And so during Options X week, which we're going through now, there's a lot of room for manipulation and, right, the psychology. So they kind of, more than manipulating the stocks, they're manipulating the psychology, right?
Yeah. So what happens is last week we had an extremely low put call ratio. In fact, for 2 weeks, the put call ratio is probably around 0.6, 0.5. And that means there are a lot more calls in the market. So what happens now is that the institutions know where the strike prices need to be in order for the small retail options trader to get stopped out or have his options contract expire worthless. And this goes on every month. It goes on during a regular Options X. You can only imagine what happens during a quadruple witching Options X.
Yeah. So the name of the game is make those options expire worthless, which one of your rules, we're going to talk about your five rules shortly, just five of many. But one of them is always leave plenty of time when you're buying options.
Oh, absolutely. And I say that on here. I tell that to my membership all the time. You know, I trade options a ton. I can't tell you how many options I've done this year with a high degree of success, over, you know, 90%+ win ratio. And I always tell them, you know, we're never going to buy the near term expiration. So, you know, I may love a stock to move in the next 3 days, but I'll go out 3-4 months. I won't buy the near term expiration because that's a fool's game. These institutions can read that. And they're going to move the equity where they need it to be, not where you need it to be.
And sometimes when you're trying to buy those options that are further out, a small order, they know you're a retail investor, they make it very difficult. I was trying to buy one 2 weeks ago, and I raised it a nickel. I raised it another nickel. I could not catch a bid there.
Yeah, they do make it very, very difficult, especially if you're out of the money. Now, the trick to that is to go into the money or go at the money. If you're doing something right at the money, you won't have as tough a time. But if you're out of the money, which is something I like to do because I like to buy things cheap and I like to sell them when they're expensive. So a lot of times when you do that, you're going to have a big spread between the bid and the ask, and you got to try to nibble in between the dead center, but you're always going to pay up a little bit. That's just the way they work the system.
Yeah, and that's kind of the price of admission because you want to get that leverage, right? You want to get that potential large gain, so there's going to be a premium involved.
That's correct, and you have to pay it. That's unfortunate, but the only way out of that is to go and buy the option at the money, and then you'll have a much tighter spread between the bid and the ask price.
Yeah, I can see that. And so is there a limit to how much premium you're going to pay for these out-of-the-money options?
Well, there is. There are sometimes, you know, the spread could be so wide that I just won't do it. I'll just walk away from it and not do it at all. And may often just go buy the stock itself if I feel that's the case. So, you know, you do have options out there. You're not always obligated to go into an option. And there are just sometimes options that just don't trade well. and I'll leave those alone. But you'll have to, unfortunately, learn that by experience. Sometimes, you know, you just don't know that it's going to be like that. But if you ever want to see an option move, just stick with something close to in the money or at the money. Then the option will, you know, usually move with the stock price.
Right. Makes total sense. So let's talk about your rules here. Five rules.
So we talked about two of them last week. I'm going to add three more this week. And one of them that I think is very, very important is if your account, whatever your account is, do not trade more than 10% in any one position of that account. So if your account is, say, $10,000, you don't want to put more than $1,000 in any one stock. If your account is $1 million, obviously you're going to go with 100 grand. So, you know, again, don't put more than 10% into any one trade. That's foolish if you do that. I mean, you want to keep yourself open for other opportunities. Plus, you know, if you ever get caught in a stock like, say, the earlier this year, a great lesson for me was I was in Southwest and the market had a crash day and the stock went down, you know, 20% that day on me. But you know what I was able to do? I was able, because I had cash on hand, to get double down on that stock at a very, very good low level where I knew there was a bounce coming. And I actually was able to take a 40% loss and turn it into a 4 or 5% gain. And, you know, you want to be able to do that just in case you get some kind of strange event that happens on you. And again, that will happen. It's a rarity, but it can happen from time to time.
Yeah. And in these volatile markets, right, you never know.
You never know. And, you know, that was a chance. That's a time where, hey, I don't want to be in that equity at that stage of the game. But the way my system works, I use a lot of weekly chart stop outs. I got what we call flushed. And I was able to maneuver and get in at a very, very good mathematical level and ultimately made money in the trade.
Right. All right. So never put more than 10% of your trading account into any one position. Makes a lot of sense. Because if you put 50 in there and it really goes down a lot, you've taken a huge hit. And this imposes some type of discipline on you as well. So, all right, that makes sense. So what's our next 10% rule?
So another 10% rule that I like to use is once you're in a trade, do not let it go down more than 10%. So if you know if you're in something and it goes lower than 10%, just get out of the trade. You know, I like to use weekly chart stop losses. So sometimes it can go a little bit lower than 10%, although that rarely ever happens. But it did happen in that case I just mentioned with Southwest. But the bottom line is, if you're in a position and you have your full position there, do not take more than a 10% loss. That's a key to everything in this business. And a lot of times, you know, the biggest kiss of death is that people will hold stocks forever and they just, you know, they'll be underwater. Maybe if you're Warren Buffett, you could do that, where he bought Goldman Sachs at 125 and watched it go to 60. You know, as independent traders, we don't have that luxury.
Yeah. Well, he has unlimited capital, literally, so he can take any trade that he wants. And of course, the last rule, which just makes so much sense, but it's often hard for a speculator to deal with.
Yeah, the last rule is cash is a position. You don't have to be in the trade all the time. There's nothing wrong with waiting for when you have a definitive edge in the market. So for me, I only want to trade when I know I'm going to win on a stock. I don't want to be in positions all the time. I see it out here in the marketplace where people just want to be in hundreds of positions all the time, in, out, in, out, in, out. They don't even care if they win or lose. That's called gambling. I want to win just about every time I get into a position. I feel like I have an edge and I'm going to make money. And that's what trading is all about. Cash is a position. If you need to wait and be in something when you have a clear advantage over the marketplace.
Right. Hey, so how many positions are you in any given time?
The most my system will allow me to be in per swing trades is 10, because I use 10% on every trade. So I can't get into any more than 10%. And I rarely ever do that. I'll say the most I'm ever in at one time is 6 or 7.
Yeah. So, but obviously in theory, so you're keeping a reserve effectively. So if things really go south, you're not going to get wiped out.
Always. Plus, you never know what opportunity can come along. So, you know, sometimes if you're fully allocated and you have no cash available and the market goes against you, now you're stuck. So again, you're not open to new opportunities. You just never know when new opportunities come. I love to just be in six or seven positions on a swing trade basis, 10% of my account in each of those positions. And if a new position comes along and I see a real edge, I will get into that one. But that's really what I think everybody should do. Jesse Livermore, who's a legendary trader, when he did this, he was at his peak. When he broke that rule, he went bankrupt.
Yeah, and that makes sense because the market is always uncertain regardless how or who's controlling it or Fed or whatever. You never really do know 100%.
No, you'd never know. And the bottom line is we use charts for that reason because we don't know. And we try to give ourselves a clear advantage over the rest of the market. And it's not easy to do. I mean, this is not an easy profession. If people thought it were easy, everybody would do it. And back in 98, 99, guess what? Everybody was doing it. And look what happened.
They got wiped out, right?
So that's right.
Yeah, day traders and all that. All right. Well, I think we covered enough for today. We will pick up tomorrow on Tuesday. Let's see how this market shakeout progresses for the week. But it does seem like people are being set up. The market's being set up to flush out a lot of people and flush out a lot of money this week, perhaps in anticipation of a major rise next week. Who knows?
Well, it's very possible, but Options X, people just need to remember, is the real shark week. There's a quadruple witching options expiration, which means you got four sharks in the tank. So be a little bit careful, a little bit on the guarded side, but there are opportunities that always arise through these volatile periods, and that's a good thing.
All right. So all of you out there, take a look at inthemoneystocks.com. See Nick's trading record. A lot of valuable info there. Monitor the Twitter feeds at ITMS, at Nick Santiago 01, and at Kerry Lutz. Questions, comments, write us kl@kerrylutz.com. Nick, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Kerry.
This concludes another episode of Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. For more information, go to inthemoneystocks.com and see Nick's full trading record, or check out the Twitter feeds at ITMS and at NickSantiago01.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.